okay? Like something just come over me and said, you're going to be fine.
And, I just need to interrupt you quick, just a second. Someone says, Ginny, can we enter the RNA Drops competition without joining Facebook? You have an answer for that just before we, I'd say give, make the deadline go another 5 minutes.
The deadline won't happen until we push the button, but yes, they can. They just register through their email. But they have to
right.
do something, otherwise they're working. Yeah, use your email. Don't use Facebook.
Yes, okay, so that's for URT. So that's meant. So Roseanne, you were saying, yes, you were indifferent, you didn't want to involve your family, and you felt okay, you didn't need any comforting.
I never told anybody, Bob. I got hit by a car. I had to call somebody to pick me up, so I had a good friend. He came, picked me up. Actually, he picked me up, and I said, listen, why don't you take me to my car? It's parked downtown. I had gone to see a play that night. And he felt so bad, he goes, I can't do that, I gotta take you home. He got his little boy up, they came, brought me off my car, I drove home that night, and then they both walked me into my place, and he had to leave for Australia the next day, and he felt so bad, he goes, I can barely even leave because I feel like, you know, I need to take care of you, he's a good friend of mine. But no, it's fine, and literally the next day I couldn't move. You know, because
right. So you got hit. You got hit in the side of the body in your hip or something, and it didn't.
Yeah.
And 25 miles per hour. That's pretty fast. And thrown up in the air and nothing.
Yeah.
Holy cow! That's incredible.
Nothing.
If there was, maybe there was non-physical luck happening or protection from the drops. But it's almost or the RNA drops relaxed your cellular structure so much that it didn't even get shaken up.
It's crazy. It's unless
that's
I think
amazing.
About it. I barely think about that time, but when I do, I start laughing because I'm like, that is fucking crazy that I'm. I was like, about, I've never broken a bone anyway, but I mean, I'm in my 50s, and I'm in pretty darn good shape, and I'm like, this is crazy that nothing. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So,
awesome.
Anyway,
now we need to take. We need to just interrupt for a second here. Sue from Montreal wrote a while back, hi, Bob and the gang. Greetings from Montreal. Bob, don't pick on Dr. Dean. She's cool. So there's that. Sue's not a, that's somebody from the gentle Monday scene, not aware of the Hell's Angel environment of Saturday.
Bob, that's what Sue's talking about. That's picking on Dr. Dean.
What is picking on Dr. Dean?
Talking about the Monday zone.
Oh, yeah, yeah, by saying it's a softy
right,
zone.
Right.
Yeah, okay. And well, we all know Carolyn's cool, but it is a... Actually, I'm just giving Bill's coordinates. Bill's the one who said Monday's soft. Ginny's like the nice, comforting place. Not soft, but platitudinous and comforting. And then it's, he says Saturday's Hell's Angels. So... You hear children's voices on Ginny's show. Yay! You know, it's a very nice sound, but it's a family show. Right, Ginny? You're a family show.
And Bob, I think you should be questioning what kind of women Carolyn and I are, that we can actually pretend to be nuns and family-oriented people and then get all dragged out in our biker gear on Saturday night and hang out with you.
You're Ionettes. And look, you know, it's the audience we're talking about, Ginny. We know you and Carolyn are actors, and you create, according to Bill, a certain atmosphere on Monday and Wednesday. And I create a certain atmosphere. It's not what we are. We're Quadraphenix.
It must be the Ionic audience, because I'm sure they all pop around.
Yes.
I only have three people who listen to my show anyway. I think it's just Bart, Madeline, and Greg, basically, and sometimes Deborah when she wins something.
And Trina.
Trina. That's right.
And Jenny's not comforting.
What do you mean? That's all she is on her show, is comforting.
Oh, I differ.
You differ? Oh, see how articulate. At least I get people talking here, Ginny. You're so comforting, you lull them to sleep or something, you know, where they don't speak.
Oh, my God, she messed me up. Just like
that. We don't speak because we're learning so much.
That's right. Yes.
I'm her fourth steady listener.
Oh, you do have Wendy, Ginny. You have Wendy. Wendy and Trina.
I missed the last two because I was at the CAS clinic, but I'll be back again.
Yeah.
And Bert wasn't.
Well, I have people like the great Gazoo who regularly post messages like this. He says, just now, he said, Bob, when will the real show start?
Oh.
We get variations of that every other week from him.
Yeah. And you have Augmenter and Kiki and all kinds of people coming into your show. And Corbin.
Now, Kiki, he sent me a message a week or two ago that he tried to register for the Bob Fest, and he was expelled or denied. Okay. And I think I heard later that there were some glitches there because people read on Matthew's site, the Bob Fest, that they could register, right, Jeannie? It wasn't mandatory, but some people thought they had to. And that came up with Bart or Madeline, one of your shows, right? Yesterday I heard you guys discussing and clarifying that. Well, here's Kiggy. He didn't get in, and he complained to me. Well, I just got a message from him. Let's see what he says. Right? This is him sending in a Facebook message. He wrote on November 22nd. No, let's just go back to get to the mood. November 5th. He writes to me, it used to be feminism was so bad that it lowered the wages of blue-collar white men who went to the ghetto as their only resort. Now the ghetto's filled with first-world feminism, that everything has gone on complete reversal. The yuppie women are getting bored and want to fuck the ghetto boys. Case in point, I was at a theosophy meeting one time, and an upper-class blonde woman wanted to take me out for drinks. Unfortunately, I didn't see her up on it. I had to work the next morning, early the next morning. But now, thanks to Obamacare, I will refuse to work full time. That's November 5th. Then he sends a link. I don't know what it is. And he says, broke bitches make me sick. Rule number one, never trust a bitch. So then you take 17 days and you come to 2:23 p.m. November 22nd. So that's today. He says, why are you going along with this matriarchal conspiracy? He has a point. There's nothing but fucking women on this show here in my audience. And you're right, Jenny. You guys dig Hell's Angels. That's the kind of women you are. Definitely not nunneries on Saturday. Why are you going along with this matriarchal conspiracy? Don't you understand how destructive that can be?
Oh, brother.
Now, he's been saying that about 3 years now, so it's always the same idea.
Yeah.
Same grievance against me. And then a little later, 2:40 p.m., November 22nd, he says, you are contributing to the extinction of human beings. I would agree with that.
Well, doesn't he know the womb is closing? I mean, that's what's happening.
Yes, he's determined to keep it. He's resisting that.
Right.
He is Ra'i. He is replaying the Ra'i judgment resistance mode archetype.
Right.
The original separateness. And yes, we are contributing to the extinction of human beings. We are proud of that. That's right. And it's a good thing, not a bad thing. And then he says at 2:41, 1 minute later, his third message, the profits are not worth the results. What's that mean?
About his job, maybe?
I think he means the profits we're making from our RNA drops. And they're not worth the takeover of the matriarchy and the closing of the womb. So the healthy effects of completement products are not worth the general destruction of the human being that we are creating, Ginny.
Well, Kiki is so conflicted, it's impossible to even comment.
Yes. He wrote back on October 22nd, a month ago, why do you not like me anymore? Only reason I got so pissed off by you is your materialism and feminism. So, I mean, it's sadly misinterpreting me. And I rest my case. So, Ginny, it's 6:09. Do we do it now, Ginny? Roseanne, if you'd stay on. Did we finish your story, Roseanne? Remarkable recovery. Pretty good. Anything you want to add to that before we go to the lottery?
I mean, basically, this year is just like a most phenomenal year. It's, I think that I'm here today because those RNA drops, I must say. I am on top of the world.
Well, that's awesome. Did you write any testimonials or speak any testimonials for Matthew ever?
Not on this.
You can do a short version. Tell them how you got booted up in the air 25 feet, collapsed, and then nothing. No, that was a good move.
I love it.
Yeah, it was a great move. You walk right into the car, try to commit suicide, but you're in. It would look like suicide from others' point of view, but you were in total control of the situation, and it was your way of kicking your ass up there to the next level. And you're now, and then you're getting synchronicity by tuning into the streaming and hearing Walter talk about Sedona that you're heading
Isn't
for
that great?
Tomorrow. Yeah, that's good.
Get the time of it. The luck.
Oh, did you do that, Carol? What the heck is that?
Alien.
Mute everybody.
Okay, I'll mute everybody. Oh, somebody mute that now?
No, it wasn't us.
Okay, well, it's a good, like, ringing the bell for the announcement. So did we finish with Roseanne? We were just saying that. Great.
Bob, it's 11:11 right now. And I just talked about that.
Very good. That's what it was.
Bell's ringing.
We got two synchronicities right off the bat.
Awesome. Maybe Roseanne is the powerful one, knock out the site, the show or something. Well, that's very good. Sky Goddess Sue says, I listen to Ginny's show. All right, there's another vote. There's six people, Ginny.
Okay, choose the winners.
All right, so stay on live if you can, Roseanne. If you have to go off, email some more points. That's excellent. I think you should do a testimonial.
Okay.
Yeah, Virginia's lining up the raffle copter right now.
So you will talk, all right? Greg, you're going to lead this?
Yeah, yep.
What about Reverend Bishop? What, can we bring Reverend Bishop in? Could he lead this?
I will have to send him a pigeon. And it might take a while to get there, but yeah, I'll send him a pigeon and see if he's available.
Okay.
Emails or texting or but
Madeline wins.
His way of communicating, yes.
Madeline just screamed that she won. Are you trying to rig the vote?
Yes.
Yeah, you can't beat Deborah. Deborah posted 1,000 times. Like, you know, how are you going to beat that?
Because I did it most recently.
You did a whole bunch?
I did it most recently.
Oh, I see.
I got in the last one.
Ah.
I win!
Did you do that because you forgot to do it, or you didn't know how to do it, or you just did it the last minute?
It's my
to be
strategy.
The you're predicting the last one in gets picked. Okay, all right,
yeah.
Clever.
Yeah,
all right.
We have over 1,300 entries here, and so I'm going to, let's have a little drum roll, please.
Hey, wait, just a minute. Just create an atmosphere around Madeline. Matt, I was reading Will E. from Oakland, his giving the movies made by Craig Baldwin. Well, Ginny asked Madeline in her interview, what was it like meeting with me, how we hung out, and then Madeline's phone blew up, so it was all garbled, and we didn't hear all about the cafe. But Will E. was at the cafe that day, right, Madeline?
Yeah.
Yes, you met Will and his partner.
I met Will.
Yes.
Yep.
And so that was another part of what we've been doing the past hour. Okay, Greg, that's all I wanted to say. I'm handing over to you. I'll go on mute.
Okay. Oh, I'm getting instructions on how to push a button here. Hold on. Oh, we do third place first. So we're going to get the end of the winning line, which I guess is the third loser because they don't get the first prize. So
they could win.
Oh, they could win all three. There you go. So, yeah, we could really fix this. Okay. Ta-da. Okay, I have to push a button. Okay, add a wiener. And the wiener is... Oh. Who's the wiener?
It's Bonnie.
Leave a blog post.
No.
That's her last name, leave a blog post?
Bonnie
has won. Okay, Bonnie, you have won the third place prize?
That's Mineral Madness.
Mineral Madness.
Remag.
Relight. Realign.
So that is Bonnie's prize. Yay,
does
Bonnie.
Jenny know Bonnie?
I don't know Bonnie.
She doesn't. You repeat what she said, Greg? She said she doesn't know?
She doesn't know.
No, we don't know who this Bonnie is.
And there is a last Bonnie. Name, and you don't want to say it.
It's B. Comba at. Oh, that's her email. Oh, no.
No, it's just Bonnie, so we
okay,
don't know.
Okay, let's go to second place.
Okay, ready? All right, push the button.
Okay, dun-dun-dun. Okay, and the person who wins the second prize is...
Oh, my God. It's Deborah.
It's Deborah.
Oh. Wow.
Awesome, Deborah. Awesome, Deborah. You hear Deborah?
Yay!
What a powerful goddess. What amazing goddess.
Yes! I've been manifesting this for a month now. What did I win? What's the second prize? I'm too busy entering to figure it out.
You get a Remag, a Realign, and a bottle of RNA.
Wow. Yay! Wow.
That's good.
Oh,
job.
I'm so excited. Thank you.
Good job with your words.
Yeah, that's the million. By the way, it's a million prize, so maybe you get a little millionaire coming up with this whole prize package.
Ginny's on mute, you know.
Yeah, what's she saying, Greg?
Oh, I'm sorry. Ginny's on mute. Sorry. I said this is the Misfit to Millions package named after Matthew, so maybe, Deborah, you get a little millionaire juju coming off of this prize package. You know what I mean?
Does she get the book or she gets the products?
She
both?
Gets the products.
Three products. Remag, Realign, and RNA.
Oh,
and what was
cool.
The third level? What was the third one called? First person
no,
you called.
It was the third.
Bonnie. The first one was Mineral Madness, and Bonnie won the Mineral Madness, and that's Realign, Relight, and Remag.
So you get.
You hear all these M's?
Yes.
I think it's prophetic.
Yes, I think it looks like Madeline's going to be the winner.
Okay, so now the very first place prize, which I did name the Ginny Almighty package, is the... Isn't
that's,
that cute?
That's what happens. You own the system. You get
that's
to put
right.
yourself on top.
That's right. So the Ginny Almighty prize package goes to... Okay, Greg. Matt, M.
Oh, that was close. Matt! Yeah, almost Madeline. Holy shit. Whoa.
Yeah.
Yay, Matt.
Yeah, M-A-T-T-H-D-S-N. Hudson, I think, maybe. He didn't put his full name.
Is yep. he M-A-T-T on dupes?
It might be.
Wow. And what did he win?
He wins a Rebob, a Renew, a Remag, a Relight, and a Realign.
Wow. Holy cow.
Yeah, it's $497 worth of products. Yep.
So, Madeline, the message here is what Madeline only got one-third of her three syllables in. What? Why? You've got to figure out how to get
the other
syllables.
I'm one-third ascendant.
Yes, you're one-third there. That's what it is. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That's good. Good for comic value. Very good entertainment value just created there, Madeline. A whole subplot. You made yourself the whole fucking story here, didn't you? Even though you didn't win, we're just talking about Madeline.
That's all that matters.
Yes.
That's right. That's right. So there you go. That's it. That's the wrap. We did it.
Yay!
No, Ginny.
Folks, yay.
Ginny, when you were on the first part and we couldn't hear you and Greg was translating you, were you meant to be heard and you fucked up your announcement by putting yourself on mute and didn't know it?
No, no, I was letting Greg do the talking.
Oh, okay.
I was sitting next to him, and it's really awkward when we're both sitting next to each other with these phones.
Right, so that was not a mistake. I just thought, wondering if you'd blown that, but no, that was intentional. And then you came on for the final announcement, so you wouldn't let Greg do it. You had to do it.
Yes, yes, I had to, because it's the Ginny Almighty package.
Yes. Well, so the first package was Mineral Madness. The second one was Millionaire. What's the second one called?
Misfit to Millionaire.
Misfit to Millionaire, and that's
mm-hmm.
Deborah. That fits
yep.
her. And then Ginny Almighty goes to Matt.
That's right. That's
well,
right.
That's
sure
pretty...
did. And now Matt seems to be on Facebook, so let's see. Yeah, he's on Facebook. Oh, yeah, yeah. You know what? I think this is the guy in the dupes.
Yeah, M-A-T-T, who I'm not sure who that is. I don't know if I've ever talked to him.
Yeah, this is him. This is him.
Wow. And do you think he posted a million times like Deborah?
I don't think he did, actually. He must have used his chip body juju.
Yeah. I think he makes interesting sober posts on dupes. I recall.
Yeah, he's definitely a fan of Zappa, and he is a fan of yours, Bob.
Ah. Well, there you have, Madeline. A little more work in the other two-thirds in my area.
Right. Nice.
Yeah, I haven't listened to enough Zappa.
Yeah. Or Mae Brussel or Lynn LaRouche. It's tough doing that in San Francisco. I understand.
Well, very good. Well, I'm very excited. So thanks, everybody, for participating. And that's it for me. I'm signing off now.
You're going to leave? You can't sign off. No, wait, now, Ginny, it was interesting when you were interviewing Madeline that you were a San Francisco girl yourself. Now,
yes.
What years was that in your life?
In the 60s. I was born there in 1961.
Oh, you were born in San Francisco?
Yeah.
And then you end up in Reno, Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how long were you in San Francisco before you went to Reno?
Well, we were in San Francisco until we went to another part of California, into Fresno, which was in the 67, and then we were in Tahoe, I think, 68 or something like that.
And that's when your mother first disappeared, in that period.
Yeah, that was 67.
Right. Now, in San Francisco, you're 6 years old. What do you remember of San Francisco?
I remember my dad worked for Hayden Stone in the financial district, and we used to go down there. I used to go to him, to his office all the time. He was a stockbroker, and I would hang out with he and his friends, and I would pick out stocks. He was very good at it. And, you know, hanging out in the city, I mean, I remember being there. I remember going down to the Muni Pier at the end of the wharf down there, going out to Ghirardelli's.
Yeah.
I remember. We spent a lot of time in North Beach. I remember all those things.
So, Madeline, did you grow up in San Francisco? I don't think you did. Did you, Madeline?
Sorry, I was on mute. No, I did not.
So you recognize what she's describing?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah. So, Ginny, did you go back there when you were an adult in any way?
Oh, sure. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, as a matter of fact, my friend Daniel Hernandez is the director of the redevelopment of the Mission. It would be interesting to – he's now, I think, a fellow at Yale, but it would be interesting to talk reflectively about – with that Craig guy about the whole Mission project and the redevelopment of that area.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I have a – yeah.
He probably knows of Craig.
Yeah, I think probably. They know each other. Yeah, definitely.
And that is happening right now?
No, that was, you know, no. That was a couple of years ago. Well, probably 10 now. Think
right.
About it. 10, yeah.
Yeah, it is all built up. It's like Soho, New York. It's been gentrified, I think. From when I saw many years ago there, it's all cleaner and bouquet, or boutique-type stuff. Right, Madeline?
Oh, yeah, it's very gentrified compared. I moved to the Mission in 94, moved to San Francisco in 92, and then I moved to the Mission District in 94, and it is so different from what it was like when I moved there.
Madeline, when I was in 1994, on February 19th of 1994, I had a accident in front of Hamburger Mary's on a Harley Davidson that I was driving with my boyfriend at the time. So we were probably in the city at the same time.
And you had an accident like Roseanne? You got kicked up in the air and fell on your back or something?
Oh, yeah, I had a terrible motorcycle accident.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Wow.
On it. But it
how were you in pain for a year?
No, but I broke three ribs, and I had a cardiac contusion. It was all kinds of drama and blah, blah, blah.
You had a helmet on, I hope.
Yeah, well, helmet laws in California, we had to.
Right, because here in Hawaii, people don't wear helmets here in Hawaii.
Oh, they don't? Yeah, that's not wise.
Right, so you were saying, I interrupted you, there's a helmet law, and therefore you had one.
Yeah, there's a helmet law in California. We were the very first people to actually, this is Harley-Davidson, the dealership in San Francisco had just that month, we were the very first people to fly and ride. That was Harley's new program that they were rolling out. And so you'd fly into a city and you could ride one of their bikes through the dealership for the time that you were there. So we were the very first people to fly and ride with the Harley dealership in San Francisco, and we trashed the bike. It was ruined.
Gee.
Yeah.
Did you get hit by a car?
Way to go.
Yeah, we got hit by, well, I used to know her name, Anna Maria Zarubi Sanchez.
Oh, that's the person who hit you?
Yeah, Anna Maria Zarubi Sanchez.
That's funny.
Isn't that a great name, Anna Maria Zarubi Sanchez? Yeah, but she sure did. Hit us bigger in day. He went over the front of the bars, and I went over the back. Yeah.
And where is that boy now?
Where is that boy now? Yeah, he's in Indiana. He's married to some gal, neat gal. Has a couple kids. He's a grandpa. That kind of thing.
Right, and you guys flew in from Indiana. Is that where were you living there?
Yeah, I was living in Indiana at the time, and we were dating. And my father had just passed away, February 1st.
All that was there. You are trying to kill yourself.
There I am trying to commit suicide.
Because you did have a trauma about your father dying.
I had a huge trauma about it. Yeah, definitely. Yep. But. Alas, I did not succeed in offing myself in an epic way.
Yeah, Harley Davidson was aiding and abetting suicides. They certainly didn't think of it that way, but they were.
Yeah.
She is a Hell's Angel, Jenny.
Yeah, that's right. Jenny's a Hell's Angel. Well, you know what she did? You know, when I selected music a couple of weeks ago from the 80s, One hit wonders of the 80s that they had footage of the Poison group that you manage. And they were the ultimate silly-looking hair group. I think it's the first time I saw them. And they had one of the hits. But Ginny was in the rock and roll world. Right,
yeah.
Ginny?
Yeah.
The music business is a racket. And she was in the middle of it hustling a group called Poison.
Yeah, there sure was.
But she made up for it. She went Christian. See, Ginny was oscillating her sense of sin, going back and forth, you know, trying to be a devil, then trying to be an angel. That went on for 25 years.
Right, and then I just totally just gave it all up and went quadraphenic with Bob.
Yeah, that's all. And I noticed that Leon loves the show Veep. If you want to see Quadrophenia, this Veep show with Julia something Dreyfus, yeah, is awesome for showing the way people live with their four or five bodies. And I'll say more if I get people talking about it, but definitely watch Veep. That is Quadrophenia perfectly presented.
Really, with Julia Louise I said she was in Seinfeld, right?
Yes. Yeah. And then Carol said she played a wife or a mother, single mother in some show, which Carol didn't like too much, but she does well here because she requires a rubbery face. It's all facial, interfacial action, and her face is really good at it.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, definitely want to see Quadrophenia today, perfectly mimed in the middle of the Android meme. You know, the White House is the center of the Android meme, so this is the White House. It's very, you could do a PhD thesis on this show if you knew how to look at it.
Really?
Pretty good. Yeah. It's mandatory. But Leon will probably type in something or call in, talk about it during the next 5 days at some point. I made a point of catching up.
5 days.
Yeah.
That just sounds so preposterous, Bob. During the next 5 days.
I'm here just going along, and about half an hour ago, I said, wait a minute. I'm here 5 days, and I said, fuck that.
And night.
Yeah, I'm just enjoying the moment here. I have no sense of time here. As long as we keep talking and
chatting. Yeah, we're only 2 hours in.
No, but, like, I don't feel anything. I don't feel it yet. Well, I guess I shouldn't. Look at this. Jamie Sinopoli. Good job to the winners. Bummer for me, says Jamie Sinopoli. Ha, ha, ha. Jamie, am I saying your name right? Just go yes or no. Zen woman goes, oh, poo, I tried. GL to those who won, though. GL, what's that mean? Good luck to those who won, though. You got tears happening here, Ginny.
You should, what's up with the Jamie just blasted out of the scene, like out of nowhere, like,
right.
I don't know, she's like been a mad poster and all this, and registering for the contest 300,000 times, and I've just only heard her name like in the last 5 days, like all of a sudden she's like rabidly into it, so you should make her call in, Bob, and identify herself and explain her behavior and her actions.
Wait, you saw her posting on your show?
Yeah, no, on my, you know, on the blog for extra points, and, like, she's really into it. Bam, bam, bam.
Yeah, she says here, we are getting ready to draw, and she says, I'm sitting on the edge of my seat with 3 exclamation marks. I'm sitting on the edge of my seat. Augmenter says, riffle, raffle, ruffle, stiltskin. Riffle, raffle, ruffle, stiltskin. Then Sarah says, oh, Bobby, stalling. They actually were fucking uptight there. They were waiting. And we had to listen to Roseanne talk about overcoming the real story, overcoming everything with the RNA drops. That's the important story, but they were all waiting for that one to end. And then Ort says, can you see this, Ginny? Are you looking at it with me?
I'm not looking at it.
Okay. Ort says, he's trying to prompt it, and he goes, and the winners are... dot, dot, dot. He's trying to get you to say it. They're trying to activate. And then... there's a rose from Zen Woman, and then she's crying, and she's pissed off. And then Jamie says, bummer for me. She's pissed off. These Ginny, look at that, the unhappiness you've created.
No, gay.
Now, here it is, Will E., from Madeline's acquaintance from OK Land, says, Ginny, what do you know about BAM magazine, B-A-M? Did you see that? Your San Francisco days.
BAM? No, I don't know anything about that. I don't
did you ever deal with
music.
Them? Yeah, they're a music magazine. That was run by Will's father or uncle or something.
Oh.
Did you ever? Yeah, it's just,
no, but I will tell you what I did was my world, the big magazine was the Pennsylvania Musician, which was the magazine in Pennsylvania, which is where I was when I started my band management company. So that's the magazine I was always featured in. It was ran by this guy named Whitey Noel, and he looked like the lead singer for Golden Earring.
What's Golden
Radar
Earring?
Love guy. That band who sings Radar Love, you know, that band.
What decade?
1980s. It was in the 80s.
No, I wouldn't know that. But so you went to Pennsylvania to be with your father, right?
Uh huh.
Right. That's the 80s before he passed on. So,
yeah.
BAM magazine, Madeline sighed. Do you know BAM magazine?
Did not sigh, and yes, I did know it. Well, I knew of it. I looked at it a few times, so I didn't get into it. But I'm
right.
aware of it.
Yeah, and then Will says, did you, Ginny, ever deal with them, BAM, in L.A.? No.
I didn't deal with BAM in L.A., no. By the time Poison went out to L.A., they went to Huntington Beach to Bobby V's house. So we'll see if he knows about that. What
you
Bobby
say when Poison came out to L.A., did you say?
Uh-huh. Yeah, they went to Huntington Beach.
I lived there. Bobby V? Why Bobby V?
Well, he was an A&R guy for Mercury Records, which was the only label at the time that was actually signing heavy metal artists, and he has a very lewd and lascivious reputation in the music business, so I'd be interested to see if this guy knows who Bobby V is.
Right, well, we could play some of his songs. He was a Bobby singer in the, 50 years ago.
Not Bobby Vinton.
No, there was a Bobby V, V-E-E.
Really?
Oh. Yeah, I can check that right now, see if he...
Hey, Bob,
yeah.
My maiden name is V's. You're with an S.
What does that mean? Was it V-E-E?
V-E-E-S. And I lived in Huntington Beach when I first went to California.
Wow.
But you have to ask.
You were Roseanne V's. Roseanne.
Yes. And I had an uncle named Bobby, V's, with an S.
Well,
okay, that's weird, because Huntington Beach is the first place I visited in California, and I work with a Bobby V.
Yeah.
So weird.
There's the ionic magic that it started
that's
to happen.
Hilarious. Crazy.
You see, what that's the mortar world, the world of language intertwining with our godliness. You know what I mean? And syncing up.
That's crazy.
That's just another
thing. Hey, Jenny, I want to ask you a question. Were you familiar in San Francisco at the David Bay to Breakers foot race?
The what? I'm sorry, honey. Say it again. The what?
It's called the Bay to Breakers. It was a foot race.
Foot race.
Oh, no. Mm-mm.
It's one of the biggest races in the country. I used to be a competitive runner in California for many years. We would fly up to San Francisco to run this race. It's 4.8 miles. It would start at the city and end up at the bay. And when I first ran, and I ran it 5 years in a row, the first year there was 23,000 people that ran it. And the last years, it was 5 years in a row, it was about 150,000 people. And it's one of those foot races where people just do the silliest things. I mean, they're serious runners, but there's so many people in the race that it just becomes one big party. So.
Yeah, they banned alcohol, finally.
Did they?
Yeah, that's
funny.
Because it used to be, how could you, finish the, like, who could carry the most beer? You know, they had all these contraptions hauling kegs around.
Yeah, people would take their clothes off. It was pretty crazy.
Oh, yeah.
It was, but yeah, you just had to go up and have a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. We just spent the weekend up there every time we went and just had a great time.
It was a Mardi Gras for athletes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well,
exactly.
Bobby V is an interesting guy. He, on March 20th, 2011, he became the 235th inductee into the Rockabilly Hall of Fame. So I guess he, Rockabilly, is that where he came out of? But he, Take Good Care of My Baby, that went to number one in 1961 when you were born, Ginny.
Mm-hmm.
And he was known primarily as a performer of Brill Building pop material. That would be Carol, what's her name, got involved with James Taylor. Carol something, the singer in there. Carol King. She wrote for Brill Building. He went on to record a string of international hits in the 60s, Devil or Angel, Rubber Ball, More Than I Can Say, Run to Him. That's Sarah's song, Run to Him, right? We do that for Sarah. That's her song sign. Bobby V, The Night Has a Thousand Eyes. Pretty good songs there, Ginny. So that's Bobby V. But did he become a music... It says,
I don't think...
Yeah, it says V's career began amid tragedy. On the day the music died, February 3rd, 1959, the three headline acts in the lineup of the traveling winter dance party, Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and the Big Bopper, were killed, along with 21-year-old Roger Peterson. Now, what's this got to do with him? In the crash, his name, Bobby V, was Robert Velline. Robert Thomas Velline, V-E-L-L-I-N-E. Then age 15, and a hastily assembled band of Fargo, North Dakota schoolboys. Now, that's those guys, the brothers, make movies about Fargo, the Coen brothers. Calling themselves the Shadows, volunteered for and were given the unenviable job of filling in for Holly and his band at the Moorhead engagement. Their performance there was a success, setting in motion a chain of events that led to Veer's career as a popular singer. So they put together a band to sub in for the Dead Guys, and that led to his career. All right.
Now, Ion would say that's a pretty powerful creator to knock off a bunch of people just so he can get his on stage.
That's right.
That's taking your power right there.
Yeah, it looks like he kept singing. He doesn't look like he's an engineer. Nope. Anyways, that's Bobby V, who Sarah has a song. Now, more messages. The Great Gazoo gets sensible, and he says, "Hey, Bob, crazy sync today with the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who today. Did you watch Doctor Who? I saw him once in the 70s on Ontario, late 70s on Ontario TV, and I thought he looked like me. And that's all. That was enough. I do not know much about his show other than what Ion goes on. Ion is an expert on Doctor Who. I was listening to him talk about some show. Oh, yeah, the movie The Fifth Element. I came across Carol and I and Ion talking about The Fifth Element, and Ion is discussing every character in there, which I don't remember any of them at the time, a few years ago, and now. But it was an example of every factor in a movie registers in Ohio, Ion's mind. He was naming people that just came through at one moment in the movie. And there were a lot of strange characters in the movie, which I forgot there were, but there were. And he could do Doctor Who in detail, any of these shows. Matter of fact, I think Ion is the best film reviewer. We're going to play eventually Ion reviewing Lost. After Lost is finished, Ion explains it. It's absolutely amazing what he finds in the hidden details. So I've decided to say that Ion is the best film reviewer, best entertainment review ever, if you give me the opportunity.
I do not know much about Doctor Who, Bob, but I will say that the first five or six episodes that I watched on Netflix, I was shocked at how much Ionic content, how many phrases and stuff, including, you know, the face of Bo is out of Doctor Who.
Yeah,
but there was this one episode where there's literally a pterodactyl hanging over the earth, sucking everybody's brains out.
Really?
Oh yeah. I thought for sure that's where you got it from, because it's just hilarious. I mean, there's so much. Every other word I was like, but Ion said that. I thought, oh my gosh, Ion got so much of their material.
Well, that's where Ion's a tape recording, and he's actually taping not human commentary. He's taping, a video junkie. He's taping Hollywood products or, you know, whatever, the TV landscape. That's what he's an expert on. That's where he gets his life. Remember, he got all those words, a lot of words from the, what are those funny guys?
Squidbillies.
The Squidbillies.
Oh,
he's nothing but, he's the Android meme squared. He's the content of the software matrix of the entertainment complex, entertainment military complex, and he's getting everything from that. That's a very important point, which is what Legend's mother said. Legend's mother, when asked what is Ion, she said the information highway or information superhighway. That's what Ion is. He's the digital matrix, and he's a recording, among other things. Go ahead, Ginny. You were going to say another point?
Remember when he was so hepped up, too, about that crazy movie, The Lady Killers?
Yes, he quotes from that. El Segundo.
Oh,
I left my wallet in El Segundo, right?
Yeah, and The Lady Killers was the great, is so totally Ionic about how this Tom Hanks.
The black woman. The black woman. The Bob Dobbs black woman. Yeah.
That's right. And then she ends up having her way in the end because she doesn't know, she doesn't care, she doesn't give it any attention. It's hilarious.
Yeah, and she's kind of Christian. She's got that in mind. She donates all her winnings to the university, the Fundamentalist University.
Yeah, Bob Jones University. And that's where Ion got that phrase, just so everybody knows. I mean, Ion is totally...
totally a Hollywood junkie. He's Variety Magazine. He's Billboard. He is Billboard Magazine squared.
Which phrase?
What?
Which phrase? Did he get from that?
I left my wallet in El Segundo.
And just so everybody knows.
Oh, that phrase, too, and so everybody knows, right?
Just so everybody knows.
He actually is.
Yeah.
Every fucking phrase that he has said is a fucking clash from the Android meme. There's no chemical body reference points. I'm sure there's a movie somewhere that says Fastest Path to Your Joy or something like that. You know, what are some Relax and Allow is probably
every
some
every word out of his mouth is from the Android meme.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
He's like the negative land.
Yes, and he's like Max Headroom or any fucking virtual cartoon thing or virtual robot. Like Ion did say that the closest to them is the smart house in Eureka. Forget what they were called. You have to look that up. You know the computer that ran the home, the sheriff's home in Eureka? Anybody know that show?
It's called Sarah, S-A-R-A-H,
And there's Sarah. We got little Sarah and mature Sarah. We got two Sarahs, regular Ionettes. And then
Ion. You can talk all day like that. What about when they were also so wound up about that crazy-ass Portal song, and they used to play that all the time?
Yeah, we got little Carolyn Dean in here. We got Carolyn in here. The Portal at the end of... Yeah, he quotes songs at the end of games.
Yeah, with the little cake.
He
Did
really
you
is a chip body.
Ginny?
You have to realize that Ion is a tape recording, scarfing other tape recordings. You know, he just it literally is a it's Zappa's vault. Zappa was a tape recording artist. So was Andy Warhol. And so
now, the thing that's
scruffier and scruffier.
What'd you say, Madeline?
This just gets trippier and trippier. I can't believe
that's right. It is the tape recording. The electronic environment comes alive and talks. That's what it is. It's a talking electronic environment.
Yeah, but what about all the absurd stuff that Ion said that nobody else has said, including all the rewrite content and everything? I mean, I can understand Ion being a tape recording of, like, the Squidbillies because they had it down. What about God's Bro? That was hilarious where that guy takes that whore and throws her into the Hadron Collider.
And Ion promotes it. Ion promotes it. He says, that's the best one. It's like Ion's an entertainment junkie. He just sits there like in that movie Idiocy and just scarfs down whatever entertainment's thrown at him. He loves it. He has no moral conscience about what he's watching. That's why in private sessions, when you tell me you had a divorce, you broke your leg, he goes, good, good. It's all entertainment for Ion.
Oh, so hilarious. So, but, I mean, then there's all this other stuff that Ion said, like on the rewrite. Formula.
Well, we did the Bible last week. That thing from that session doing the Moabites. I mean, so what you have, Ginny?
Well,
he
that's
always
the creation.
He always told me that the mystery body merged with the other bodies. He is all five bodies. You can make a big story about the chip body, which you didn't talk about, but he's also the astral body, which is the biblical knowledge, and he's the chemical body, which he does with Carol and all that chromosome 14, and the TV body. So he's all the bodies merged, Ginny.
That's true. We'll just run around sounding like Ion.
Right. We tend to think of it's JW channeling, or it's a astral forest. Ion had to rub it in. It was the shocker for James Martinez that there is the chip body aspect of Ion, which nobody was perceiving, but that was there. It was not the only body, but we have to understand the hugeness of the chip body and its importance, but all, he's also the other bodies, plus non-physical, plus that would be maybe the mystery body. So he's everything, Ginny and Madeline, and anybody else we're addressing. I better check the web control panel. There's two people, Plainville and Stephanie. You've been unmuted if you wish to speak. So far, no one. We have...
Can I say something about...
Yeah.
So Ginny's marveling at how the recording Ion spits back all this...
Yeah.
All this content combined in different ways. But, and then on the rewrite and such, he would always be saying... how this has never been said before, but or them bragging about their coming forth to create.
Yes, and
it's the exciting new aspect of it. I'm doing new stuff.
What did you just say? You're doing new stuff?
I'm not. Well, I am too, but Ion
is doing new stuff. This is an important statement. Let's see the ramifications of what you mean.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean, that they reiterated that over and over. Do you see this? We're creating.
Yes.
This has never been said before. You know,
that's
maybe
right.
Those are the only original statements are when they say that.
That's right. And they actually aren't creating. He's just editing and stealing lines from whoever speaks. You know, Angela says that Ion would pick up whatever person had a private session and add that to his repertoire. No, she's missing that Ion would add every movie, every recording to his repertoire. Not just people, chemical bodies. So now we're starting to get in good stuff. So you listeners, for the first time to the longest recorded talk show ever happened, you're beginning to realize where you are. We are talking about something you've never heard of before. In a way that's never... Can you imagine Bashar quoting from Squidbilly?
I'd rather not.
Yeah, and you know, I was saying all the stuff, worky job in the first 6 months. I did not know about Squidbillies. I did not know that I was listening to a recording. I thought it was Ion's particular, unique slang. You know what I mean? His silly humor. I did not know that he was recording. It took a couple years to realize that. I used to say that because J.W. knew the guys who did Squidbillies, and J.W. would visit them, and I'm assuming he might visit them once Ion showed up, that was the first humans that Ion got to zap from, you know, to SpongeBob from, and that was my theory. I didn't realize he's sitting in J.W.'s home like David Bowie in the movie The Man Who Fell to Earth. That's about a 40-year-old movie. Remember, the alien sits there and watches in the hotel all the TV to figure out what's going on the planet, and then he takes over Wall Street with what he learns from TV. Well, that's what that's what Ion's doing. He's been sitting around watching all the TV that goes on in JW's house and wherever else he goes and absorbing it all, you know? Just like the alien in Fifth Element. The Fifth Element is so Ionic, it's incredible. It's got the double helium.
What movie is that? Does that have... Remind me what the Fifth Element is. I think, is that I See Dead People?
No, that's some other thing. It's the Bruce, you know.
Bruce Willis.
Oh, Bruce Willis
driver.
And the
blonde.
That girl, yeah.
Yeah. And
okay,
you can go on YouTube right now, Madeline, and look at the DNA sequence. They show the making of 144,000 double helix strands.
All right, I'll watch it again.
In the animation. And now Ion is just like Zappa. When Zappa came out in 66, he wanted people, his high school audience, college school audience, to find out about musicians and composers that nobody knew about. American media was not talking about. So he retrieved, like a good artist, you retrieve stuff from the past, you save what's great in the past that no one notices. Ion has done that with the religious music and the Basso La and all kinds of things. Ion has preserved his own Noah's Ark as well as creating.
Bob, I just want to ask you a totally off-base question, but at 12 o'clock when you, Santos Bonucci or whatever this guest is, comes in, I mean, what are you going to be doing? Are you just going to be rapping with this person for an hour? Are you expecting other people to just listen or ask questions, or what are you expecting?
I have no idea. It was all set up by Matthew. He jumps in and has to swim.
Okay, so, and Evan and all these people who are coming on, they're just going to have to call in and do their thing with you.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to find out who they are and begin focusing on them a little bit. But when is the first person?
Well, I think he comes in at midnight, this Santos Bonucci person.
God, Bonucci, I have to stay up for that. Holy crap.
Who is he?
Well, he's just 6 minutes from now. It shouldn't be hard to stay up, right?
So how do I will look for his name on the board here, right? Look for his entry.
I don't know. What arrangements did you make with your executive producer, Matthew?
Who's executive producer of this thing? Where's Matthew? He promoted the hell out of it and he left us in the lurch. We don't even know anything about anybody. Well, I do know. We knew Ginny. It was good to start off with Ginny. We knew her. We knew what her talents were. We knew what projects she had going with.
Evan's coming on at 3 a.m., Bob, in just 3 hours.
You're kidding. I gotta get that fucking program. Where's the program notes? where do I find it?
Where's Carolyn? Is Carolyn here to help you, or is she
She's in the background. You hear her laughing. She's emailing, you know, masturbating. Just fucking off. Not doing anything. She's just all up for the ride.
Okay, well, you have to go to the Bob Fest website.
Yes, Bob Fest. Okay, I'll write that in quickly. Do I go?
Hey, Bob. Bob, it's Roseanne.
Oh, yes, Roseanne. What?
Hey, I'm going to sign off because I got to go to bed. I got to go get a plane early tomorrow morning, but I want to call in the next 5 days from Sedona. Okay? I'll check in with y'all. And does anybody know if I can listen to radio streaming ION on the plane? Has anyone done that? I want to do that tomorrow when I'm on the plane for about 4 or 5 hours.
What do you think, Mel?
That might have some interesting effect.
What's that?
That might have some interesting effect on the plane.
I'll have a headset on.
Hey, Roseanne, you can always email your questions and I can read them and Bill can answer them, or Bill will come in now and tell you, I don't know, you know? But you're always in touch. You can't get it out of touch.
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah.
Are you talking about listening through the phone? You can listen through the phone by calling this number, yes.
Yeah. I guess it would be okay. All right, Bob, I'm going to say goodbye and sign up. I may listen for a while, but I'm going to call in from Sedona every now and then.
Very good. Great testimonial. We need to get that expressed concretely on the drop site.
Okay, I'll call in sometime.
All right.
Okay, thanks for talking to you guys.
Thanks a lot, Roxanne.
All right.
Roseanne. Roxanne is in Berlin. Santos Bonacci. For over 30 years, Santos Bonacci has been researching the ancient works, compiling and translating them. Notice the smile on my voice, eh? Compiling and translating them into more accessible terms in the study of astral theology. This knowledge is the basis and origin for all of our myths, legends, fairy tales, nursery rhymes, and folklore. In other words, it comes from ION. Does he know that? It is also the pure science developed by the very enlightened, wise, and ancient priesthood that give us the holy books, well, that's the Emerald Tablets, of all the religions. His language was heavily veiled in allegory and symbolism, and much of it was deliberately done to keep the higher truths from the masses. Well, this is this guy. We have the topic for him, the Emerald Tablets. So where is he? Are you there, Mr. Bonacci? Does he know he's supposed to call in? I hope Matthew organized this properly.
Oh, my God.
Yes, this is the greatest archive, and it shows you how even the great priests of Dobbstown wing it. We wing it.
Yes, so I'm assuming his bit doesn't start for another 2 minutes, so maybe he's going to call in here.
Like what? He got these people to call in. I hope they understand to call in because we could call them, but we don't have any phone numbers here. I don't think Matthew screwed that up, did he? Did he not tell us to phone these people? You know, who knows?
No, they know all my guests. I mean, they know the people I talk to. They know they're supposed to call in, so...
Okay, there are 16 callers, and that five of the numbers are technical things. So it's sort of about 11 people on here. So we'll see when it becomes 17, if no one drops off. So nobody drop off. You'll fuck up our statistics.
When he does call in, Bob, I've listened to him, and he's really enjoyable to listen to.
How would you hear him? How would you... So this is just like in Veep. Bob gets, they're always briefing the vice president. Like she walks up to somebody and they're right beside her whispering in the ears, who the hell